This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
One briefcase, one moment could change everything. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving you a chance to own your destiny in 2026. Play throughout the month of January, and on January 28th, One Club Serrano member will win the case, and with it, a finale spot in any 2026 promotion, plus $400,000. Which destiny will you choose? It's all happening at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan from the 682. That kid's dad might have tax problems, but the kid's mom is toxic. I love it when people have like really intense thoughts about the narratives that happen in these commercials, because that commercial is captivating.
That was something that Mike, like, he listened to our commercials more than anybody.
For sure.
Because he'd come in and be like, that Bluebell commercial. It's like you're on your deathbed dying, but they're just singing
just
to you.
Ditch that lady.
You made a new best friend. And then what was the other one that he was always like that with these commercials, though, where he would be very invested. Big Lou's story.
Look, we're all invested in Big Lou's story. So would you describe the Texas Rangers as a team that is desperate to win?
No.
Okay. Do you think that's...
You make bold moves when you're desperate.
Okay. And that's probably where I'm
Maybe
at.
Maybe not smart moves, but bold.
Do you think that would have been different if they hadn't won the World Series in 2023?
Not for Chris Young.
Because he...
Like that dude
Chris
wants
Young
to win every
desperate
day.
Desperate to win, right?
Yeah, he wants to win every day. That's just internally. He's the kind of guy that's like, I wake up and I have to win this next step.
Right, right.
I have to win the shower. I have to win the scale. I have to win the toothbrush. That's how I feel he is. Is that that's what he's looking for? But I do agree with you that Ray Davis won his World Series and was like, all right, I spent the required money to get that.
Right.
Rangers fans told me if we won, they would show up and they would do all these things. We have done that. We have the stadium. We have all the things. We're good. But I don't think, because he has won a World Series now, I think he's like, all right, good. I added that to the, it's not like Jerry where he wants to win the most Super Bowl ever. We'll get to that at 1 o'clock. But he's not like, I don't think he's in that vein. He is a bottom line guy that showed up and was like, I got tired of getting my ass kicked. So we made some moves and we did something. And then it won. And that was good. And I appreciate it. Thanks, guys. I think that's where he is.
From the 2-4, just like that lady that said she never thought in a million years she'd have to use life insurance. Like, you thought your husky, I believe, was going to live a million years? Get serious. So people are providing commentary on commercial issues that they have. But to your greater point, the Rangers Bleacher Report put out this little blurb to kind of go along with the Rangers just won it all 3 seasons ago. But their window, it was really two. But their window to get another one is probably closing fast. Jacob deGrom turns 38 in June. Nathan Eovaldi will be 36 by opening day. And Corey Seager's not getting any younger or any cheaper. And you see the continual discussion of we have to improve from within. We have to improve from within, which realistically...
That's absolutely true.
Yeah, I agree. But isn't it also code for our owner's not going to spend any more money?
It also get... Yes.
It is.
But yeah. Also, what does that require? If you're going to get better from within...
Changing people who are making your picks from within.
In the system that you have...
Yeah.
Like, the reason you have Jack Leiter is because that was a no-brainer, get Jack Leiter. The reason you have Wyatt Langford, no-brainer, get Wyatt Langford. Evan Carter was a gamble that nobody else really knew about. And honestly, physically, his body, he helped deliver the World Series. But since then, it's been like, oh, maybe that was part of the gamble. But this is a system unlike any other. I guess the hockey kind of has their junior leagues, too.
Yeah.
But the minor league system is built for back and forth within Major League Baseball. And your minor league system has been poor for decades, generations, it feels like. And if you're going to get better from within, you have to stock that full of talent, and you have to make sure that the people that are in the positions to observe and help that talent are helping them develop to the next level. And the Rangers have, over those decades and generations, proven that they are not good at that.
I'm going to just compare, because I've seen a couple of people mention this team. Do you think the Dodgers are desperate to win a World Series? Because I think they are. I think they show with their moves, even though they're the back-to-back defending champions.
Not rested on laurels at all.
Not at all.
They're like, and they also are like, we have all the money.
That's
like,
fair. And
all
I'm not
the
saying
money's
you
going
to
be coming back to you. Yeah,
that amount of money.
Yeah, but no, I see the desperation. They're like, we want to build, because they don't want to build a one-year champion. They want to build a 10-year dynasty. They're like, how do we make this happen? And the only way to do it is do what the Yankees did. During their era, during the late 90s, 2000s, just go get everything. Everything you could possibly think of, never leave a hole.
If you had to guess right now, what would you project the Rangers' record at?
This year?
For 2026.
I don't think they're going to be 500.
You think they're going to be below 500?
78 wins.
Okay, so... Going into the season last year, they were projected at 85.5 wins. And for people who always ask, remember, they set it like that so there won't be a whole bunch of ties or pushes.
Give me a second, Kevin. I'm sorry. I am negating the fact that you just added Skip. I have no clue what to think of him.
For sure.
I know I felt like the energy had dropped off completely at the last stretch there with Boach. And that's unfortunate. Love that man so much. But I am negating the potential energy that Skip might add and inject into this clubhouse. I just don't feel like you have the offensive talent to do what you need to do.
Well, and look, Vegas does not agree with you, doesn't disagree with you too much. So 85.5 wins to project for the start of last year. Now it's dropped to 83.5.
Okay.
Will the Rangers make the playoffs? No, is a -145. So essentially they've got the Rangers at about a 46-47% chance of making the playoffs. And so it feels kind of similar to perhaps how a lot of us felt going into last year. Yeah, I think this team could maybe win 86, 80, 88, 89 mm-hmm. games on the higher end, which should hopefully be enough to get you in the playoffs. And then at that point, if DeGrom is rolling, if Eovaldi is rolling, if you found that Leiter really can take yet another step after he took a big step last year, then that feels like a team that would be feared in mm-hmm. the playoffs with that starting pitching.
Yeah, oh, for sure. So, Kevin, look at the... look at the lineup, though. Who's leading off for you?
Is it going to be Wyatt?
Maybe Nemo. Like, that's a potential.
Oh, yeah,
that's a possibility.
I can see that.
Wyatt, because you can hit him second, probably. Have Seager third. After that, do you have a big coin flip on everybody? Like, that's how I feel about the rest of this lineup. Is like, I don't know, they're all interchangeable. There's nobody that makes me go, I have to put Adolis at four.
Right.
There's nobody that I have to have at four. And then it's just, all right, I got to figure out where this line. I don't fear anything other than those two, really, honestly.
Yeah.
And you need more than that.
Yeah. And you're hoping that Higashioka continues to do what he did last year.
He had some fun pop last year,
man. But you're depending on Jock Peterson needs to make a big turnaround. You need big things from Jake Berger. And I'm not disputing that all of those are true, but isn't that all necessitated by the fact that you're not going to spend any more money? Because otherwise, you'd be like, Jock Peterson had one of the worst offensive seasons in the history of modern baseball. We can move on from him. But you can't because you spent money on that player option, which, of course, he picked up. You need Jake Berger because he is a cheaper player. And, like, you look at a lot of the things that the Rangers did, the people that they brought in were because of the $11 million they saved bringing in Nimmo for Marcus Semien. They didn't spend additional money. They essentially spent what they made off of making that trade. So there's just nothing about this offseason that has screamed urgency. So I would also say it doesn't feel like they're desperate to win a World Series at all. But the thing that doesn't bother me as much about it is because I guess that's what I expected. You know, I'm not saying that's cool. You should try to improve your team. But didn't we all think this is, like, pretty much exactly how this would go?
2-1-4. Yeah, yes. Yes. Nimmo, Langford, Seager, Berger, Peterson, Young, Smith, Jansen, Carter. That back three, Josh Smith has had his opportunities.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
We've seen him play enough.
Yeah.
Young, I don't have a clue what version I'm getting of him, dude. And that's, I guess, better with, from within is what that's, he's also speaking to that. I have to have career year from Josh Young and career year from Smith. And
career health from Seager.
Yeah, health from Young. Health from Evan Carter. Health from all these things. And so, like, those things right there, that's, you did get that 1 year. You got a magical career years out of every single one of those players.
And it, honestly, if this is the price that you had to pay for it, I make that deal every single time. I accept. It just sucks now that you're there. But remember, like, even with Nimmo, Nimmo's a player that the Mets didn't really think needed to be around anymore. And so we traded player they didn't want.
Sounds like they had some political strife going on in their clubhouse, too. That's weird. I don't know what happened there.
Yeah, the Mets are a fascinating organization right there. But yeah, I just, you know, as we're about, what, 6-7 weeks away from being at spring training, so the time's coming up on us quickly, I just kind of wanted to gauge the fan base and see where everybody was. But I think you're right about some of that health stuff is, man, Seager, Young, Carter, if you could get health there, that feels like a huge deal.
No, listen, this lineup has the potential to be awesome.
Yeah.
I'm probably down on it because last year it was bad.
Sure.
And I've seen it awesome before.
And will you be able to maintain without Mike Maddux on the pitching front?
We'll see. But it has the potential. It has all these questions that can only be answered through the season.
Right.
These things that we're concerned about right now. I'll tell you this. End of February, beginning of March, whenever we head out to Arizona for spring training, because nobody does spring training like the KNC Mashpiece and the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Nobody. I'll be pumped. I'll be ready for baseball season to get rolling. It's just I have questions, concerns, hopes for Chris Young, and I think that dude is the same guy that's sitting there looking at that board. Remember the old drop-down board I used to tell you about
that
John Daniels would have? He's looking at that board, and he's just like, we got to figure out how to make this thing better. I think that that's absolutely what he's doing, and I'll be right there ready to go roll with it too.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we move into the expressway. We got NFL overreaction or reality, a TNA ticket giveaway, plus the Campus Connection. The CFP semifinals have arrived. So, who you got? All of it next right here on The Fan.
Prescott, three-step drop, standing, looking, deep ball, end zone, Pickens caught it over the shoulder. Touchdown, Cowboys. There's a good throw by Prescott.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, it's time for some NFL overreaction or reality, and we start with this. I think I know the answer, but I want to check with everybody. Overreaction or reality, there will be a point in your lifetime where a Jones isn't running the Cowboys.
Overreaction. And Kevin, I mean, my kids and their kids.
Yeah.
And because he made it a family business, they have all taken jobs within it. Most of them, they're as committed as Jerry is to this thing. the what their piece of the future is right. too for it. And they see how financially stable it can be too. I'm having met a lot of them. They're just kind of waiting for their time to get that opportunity. I'm fascinated to know though, like which one of the grandkids might want to say, you know what, I'm ready for this. And if Steven would say, all right, let's give you a shot and let's run with this. Or if Steven and Jerry Jr. and Charlotte look at it and say, we enjoyed our experience with our right. dad and we want to continue sharing that with our kids okay. too. And we want them. So, I mean, they have the money to keep it forever.
Alec, what say you?
Yeah, that's a total overreaction. I'm right there with Corey because, I mean, Jerry said it, I want to say this season with you guys that he made it a family business for a
yep.
reason. Like, and he means that, and it's always going to be run. I don't care what kind of ridiculous offer could magically get put on the table or like those fake Facebook stories that you see that maybe a certain Middle Eastern kingdom is going to try to buy the entire league for $140 billion or something. It's never going to happen. It yeah. never will happen. And if anything, I think it's kind of cool because you're starting to see some of the other franchises are starting to add outside people and then they end up selling and whatnot. I kind of like the family tradition. I know it's irritating. I get it. But I kind of like it. It's kind of cool.
Overreaction or reality, given the changes of the last few days, the Baltimore Ravens is now easily the best open NFL job.
Well, Kevin, I want to add one last thing on the last thing you said.
Okay.
I'm not close to 60 yet, but I'm getting closer. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I was also taken.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.
My age into consideration.
Just as long as I don't have to hear a segment about it.
I won't. I think the Ravens' personnel on defense isn't good in areas.
Facts.
So there's work to do, but I think you have a coordinate. I think Brian Flores is the man for that job, dude.
Okay.
That's the place. If I'm him, I'm like, I want to show the world that if I give this dude the right defense, he's going to be a Super Bowl winning quarterback. If I'm Brian Flores, that's the job I want. And yes, I want that quarterback. I do want the organization itself. I need to talk to them about superstar receivers and how important those can be.
Right.
Because having a Pickens on that team would be pretty amazing.
Right.
And so, like, that's one other thing I'd like to add to this because they just seem to be like, no, we got Zay Flowers. We're good. Rashad Bateman's not good enough, buddy. So I would probably want to add a little bit more there. But, yes, that's a place that I would absolutely want to go.
So NFL.com has their new head coaching rankings as Ravens 1, then the Giants, Browns, Falcons. They have the Dolphins at 5, Cardinals 6, Titans, and Raiders. So, Alex, same question for you. Overreaction or reality? With the happenings of the last 48 hours, the Ravens is clearly the best open job.
Yeah, it's got to be a reality because of the talent that's already in place and what was the reason that Brian Flores got kind of kicked out of the Miami job, he didn't like the quarterback he was working with.
Right.
Never wanted Tua on that team. Well, how about I give you a two-time league MVP?
Sure.
You know, and you can figure it out then. And their defense was not that great this year, so you bring in a defensive-minded head coach, which, whether it's Flores or not, I do think they need to go defensive-minded head coach there. But there's a lot of things to like, even with a bad season that ended in missing the playoffs, which is rare for that organization the past few years. I think that there's a lot there to like. There's a tradition of excellence there, no nonsense. I like the job opening a lot.
Corey?
Wait, can you revisit the question?
No. Do you have something?
I'm seeing reports. I'm confirming sources. Seeing reports that Jason Witten is closing in on a deal with OU.
To be their head coach?
To be their tight ends coach.
Oh, I was like, wait, what?
One of the sources, they say CBS Sports. So
okay.
That's one source, but I haven't seen the other source confirmed. So I'm checking in.
Overreaction or reality?
Computer locked up on me.
This is the year that Josh Allen will finally get to the Super Bowl. Did you know that Josh Allen has more playoff wins without a Super Bowl appearance than any quarterback in the history of the NFL?
Wow.
With 7.
And he almost has the most like rushing and passing touchdowns for a rushing touchdown quarterback.
What?
I don't know. He's doing really good. I don't think this is, man. I think that team is still missing some components. They went very heavy offensively that it was going to be the run game, and we're going to try to take some things away from Josh Allen so that he doesn't have to do as much. Josh Allen was like, screw it. I'll still run around for 5 minutes before I throw the football, and I just don't think that their defense is something I trust. So I would love for him to have that opportunity. I think that window may have slipped down just a little bit, and they need to find a way to open it back up.
Now, this is unfortunate for Josh Allen. He is 7-2 at home, but 0-4 on the road in the playoffs, so that's certainly not going to help. But same question to you, Alec. But bonus question, Josh Allen is the most impactful player in this playoffs.
Ooh, that is really, really tough. To get the first one out of the way, total agreement with Corey, and I almost wonder, new stadium mojo, maybe something changes because it is interesting how you get the cold weather games and stuff like that, and people are like, oh, the ultimate home field advantage.
Right.
And then the second they hit the road, they forget what it's like to play in air conditioning and what it's like to play in normal circumstances. It's kind of weird. So I am in agreement there, but the most impactful player in the playoffs is tough for me. So I'm looking up and down the teams right now. If you went back, 5 years ago, you'd say, no, Aaron Donald exists
for
the Rams. But, oh, man. You know what? Yes. I'm going to say that's a reality because the nature of the position is always going to dictate that. But the levels that he adds to that offense with a bunch of pieces that people wouldn't really go crazy about. That offense outside of him is just on paper, not super talented, but he knows when to tuck it and run. He knows when to unleash it to a receiver that they picked up off the street, you know, 16 days ago. Like he just makes all the timely decisions in the world. So I'd say yes.
Corey?
I think, man, I'm going through a list right now. I got Puka on that list. I got I have Rome Odunze for the Bears on that list.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I think that he needs a receiver. I think Caleb Williams needs a receiver.
Okay.
Colston Loveland might be the dude that you're like, okay, he's made the bigger impact. I got Will Anderson for the Texans on that list.
I can see that.
I have A.J. Brown. Saquon Barkley for the Eagles. That's a coin flip on those. Jaxon Smith-Njigba because it's definitely not Sam Darnold. Christian McCaffrey is for that. That list is longer than just quarterbacks. That's what I think is fascinating about this group of playoffs is this is more than just the quarterbacks, but it's probably going to come down to who the better quarterback was, right? Whenever we have the discussion afterwards, we'll go, oh, man, look, these were the 4 best quarterbacks. That's why they were in those conference championships.
So, overreaction reality.
Overreaction.
Oh, in your face, Josh.
I think Puka's more.
Ooh, but not Matthew Stafford?
Mm-mm.
Okay. NFL overreaction.
Said what I said.
Okay. NFL overreaction reality. Knowing all of the Dallas Cowboys 2026 opponents has you already constructing their record.
Dude, okay. I got the email the other day.
The answer's nine.
And I refused to look at it.
Oh, okay.
Until I was like, no, screw that. I don't even care who their opponents are.
Okay.
I need to know more about what this team is. That's what matters, Kevin. We're going to focus on ourselves here.
But you know that's not how people operate, right?
No, usually they operate in like a sterilized room.
Okay,
with some
not
scalpels.
That. But I've already seen so many people be like, oh, 7-10. Dude. Or this is an easy schedule. They're going 11-5-1.
And it's fun to play that game right
for
now.
Sure.
But then what happens when free agency hits and other teams add players or lose players, all these coaching changes. So yes. I appreciate the people that are all invested in it that way.
6-3 at home, 3-5 on the road to go 9-8.
Where's the tie?
No tie this time.
Cowboys win because, Cowboys lose because, Cowboys tie because.
Because this way they can tell you they improved. Alec, overreaction or reality, knowing all... I'm not saying you have to do it.
Hold on real quick.
Oh,
the Bears are receiver rich. DJ Moore, Roma Dunze, and Luther Burden. Bad Bears take. No. DJ Moore quits on routes. Roma Dunze's been injured most of the season. Luther Burden has fumble problems every once in a while, too, and hasn't turned into the receiver that he's expected to be because he's still a rookie. They're rich in idea. They're rich on paper. But the reality is, if you've watched them this year, they haven't produced the way that they're supposed to. Didn't even have a 4,000-yard passer this year.
Never happened for the Bears. Alec, overreaction or reality, knowing all of the Cowboys' 2026 opponents, has you already constructing their record?
It's an overreaction.
What?
I'm waiting because
nerds.
I got a lot of this season so wrong because I kind of started doing that last offseason. Then I saw that gauntlet of games that you had against playoff teams this season. And then you ended up beating the Chiefs and the Eagles. And I'm like, there's no point in doing this because I don't know. Like Corey said, I don't know what kind of trade acquisitions are going to be made. And then this team just loves to not make any sense. So I feel like it makes sense for me to not get over invested in that until I see the way the schedule is actually stacked.
Alec, if I told you going back to this year when they released the schedule, and I told you Cowboys beat both the Chiefs and the Eagles, and I could magically guarantee that, wouldn't you think this team was going to go like 12-5 or maybe better?
I would have said NFC championship game. Like, if you told me that. Yeah, that would have been incredible. But hey, we still found a way to tie and have a losing record.
NFL overreaction or reality? It is worth $1 to you to put down a bet on the Panthers versus Chargers being the exact Super Bowl.
It's worth $2.
Oh!
It's worth $4.
987-1 on your money on that. So,
oh, hold on. That's not the 1,400 one?
No, that's Panthers versus Steelers. 1,443-1 on your money. But I like
Dude,
what you're thinking.
There's like nine different bets that I need to put $5 down on.
Yeah.
And can I do that on Underdog, make a play like that?
Not that exact one, but I can find you plenty of ones that'll get you up to 5,001 for sure. For sure. Now, the most likely exact Super Bowl matchup per Vegas is the Seahawks against the Broncos at 7.5-1. The least likely is the Carolina Panthers against the Pittsburgh Steelers, which would be 1,443-1. NFL overreaction or reality? This season, you think the AFC playoffs are more interesting than the NFC playoffs?
Because
I think I do.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win, only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in?
Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
No, I don't know, man. Okay. I don't know. There's a team that a lot of people don't talk about very much in the NFC, and I'm one of those that really believes that they exist. That is the Seahawks.
You are a liar. You said in your power rankings you forgot they existed.
I mean, my list has all 14 teams. It's the other list that only had 10.
Man, you got a lot of teams from the playoffs.
I think the Rams and Bears are fascinating teams. I don't think the Seahawks are because I just don't believe. When I believe in Sam Darnold, I'll believe in the Seahawks, and I just don't yet.
Okay.
But maybe after a couple playoff games, I'll buy in, and then he'll let me down. I agree the Broncos and Patriots are the Jaguars are fascinating. You know what?
Bills.
Reaction is reality.
Okay. Alec, same question for you. Bonus question.
Oh, no.
The 3 versus 6 is the best cross-the-board seeding matchups this weekend. Because in the AFC, you get Jags and Bills. In the NFC, you get Eagles and 49ers.
Ooh, reality to both. Reality to both. And I'll start with the first one because I've made it pretty clear I think the best team in the playoffs is the New England Patriots. And Vegas, a lot of people that follow the sport just don't believe in them. And I don't know why. If you watch the games, they look awesome. So I'm not accusing anybody of not being ball watchers. But, hey, I know what I see. And I see a very well-coached team that just, they are so comfortable with what they're doing. But then on the other side of the coin, the Broncos. They were my Super Bowl favorite going into the season. I have no idea what to think about them right now.
Yeah.
I have none. The Jaguars, I think, could surprise everybody and make a very deep run. I have no clue what's going to happen in the AFC.
Yeah.
I have zero, and I love it because it's usually, okay, Chiefs, Bills, we'll see you in the championship game.
By the way, Rams, Patriots, if you think, 16-1 on your money if you think that'll be the Super Bowl matchup.
I got caught up, Kevin, in my rant. Moments ago regarding Luther Burden. I saw a moment where I thought he fumbled the ball, and he did not. He did not have any fumbles this year.
Oh,
he did also, though, have 2 games this year where he had over 100 yards receiving.
One was against us, right?
And he had 3 games where he had negative yards receiving.
Really?
-3, -4, -5, and 1 game against the Lions, he had 5 yards. He did get more targets late in the season, though. I will give him credit on that.
Okay. NFL overreaction or reality, having Kyler Murray in Miami wouldn't be too much different than having Tua.
I think Kyler Murray throws a harder football.
Okay.
And I think that has a lot to do with some of the decisions that I think, just watching him, decisions I think Tua doesn't make because he's afraid of the pass. But I see where you're going with that. Leadership-wise, I don't know if he's ever gotten a room to follow. Do you want to walk in the huddle and believe?
Yeah.
And I don't know if a lot of guys do believe. Injury-wise, they've been missing for different reasons for often. But it's kind of the idea of change of scenery more than anything else. But you're probably going to get the same thing. You need somebody with Kyler that he can believe is going to be a great coach to take him somewhere else. So I think that's a reality.
Alec, overreaction reality. Having Kyler Murray in Miami wouldn't be too much different than Tua.
I'm going to go overreaction because the play styles are totally different, and I do trust Kyler throwing the ball a little bit more than I do Tua. But I will digress that results will probably be the same because that team is just up in the air right now. They've got some big money contracts. They've got a bunch of older players as well. They don't really have an identity right now, and part of it is because as of a few hours ago, they don't have a head coach. So there's a lot of things.
Were you surprised by that this morning?
No. I think I was. Had Harbaugh kept his job in Baltimore, then Mike McDaniel would still be employed by the Dolphins. The only reason that happened is because Baltimore let Harbaugh go. I am convinced of that. I know Stephen Ross, the owner out there in Miami, has an affinity for Jim Harbaugh, or John, excuse me. But I think that McDaniel is going to land somewhere favorably, but he would have had that head coaching job still if Harbaugh was employed.
Okay, interesting. Can you go ahead and give me cut number 7 so we can get the campus connection going?
After the loss of 6, another pass play that's intercepted! Taking it back is Keontae Scott! He'll go all the way! Touchdown, Miami!
All right, we're going to get to the college football semifinal matchups. If you want to tell us your predictions, who you got on these two, because we get it going tonight, but we needed to make sure we threw out there DJ Lagway, the former Florida quarterback, is in fact committed and will transfer to Baylor. So you've seen a lot of movement from a lot of players over the last several days. DJ Lagway going to Baylor.
It does look like Jamie French plans to enter the transfer portal from UT. And it does, On Three is reporting that that Jason Witten has been hired
as the tight ends coach. Okay. So. Congratulations to Mr. Witten. All right. We got a couple of other player moving stories going down. Carnell Tate is leaving Ohio State for the NFL draft. Can't say that is particularly surprising. And then former Texas wide receiver Parker Livingstone, he committed to the University of Oklahoma. So there are some of the player movements and a shakens as they go along in college football. We might have time for a few more of those in just a minute. But what is the feel that you guys have for these two games? We get it going tonight with the Verbo Fiesta Bowl. Screw that. I don't have to read the sponsor. The Fiesta Bowl between Ole Miss and Miami. And then tomorrow, you'll get the Peach Bowl between Oregon and Indiana.
Dude, that any game Indiana's involved in because of their head coach brings excitement.
By the way, did you see what their head coach said? He was asked about the fact that he always looks angry or maybe just miserable out there. And he said, quote, "There's a lot of times I'm happy. I just don't show that I'm happy. If I'm going to ask my players to play the game first play and have the same regardless of competition and the circumstances, then I can't be seen on the sideline high-fiving people and celebrating, right? Or what's going to happen? What's that effect going to be?" But he said, "I do smile, and I am happy at times."
The only times I ever think I saw Nick Saban happy was when he was hoisting the trophy, and then he would stop smiling as he handed it to somebody else. That was that was exactly how it goes.
Right.
The game tonight, what can Bain and that defensive line do to disrupt Chambliss?
Yeah.
That's really all this is, what it's about the most, is can they keep him from making those special plays whenever he gets loose, making those big throws whenever it's crunch time. And then on top of that, they got a kicker that can put it through the uprights,
right,
dude, which is kind of chaos. But I guess the question is, which quarterback is the one that you're like, that's the one that I think can make the play? I don't have any faith in Beck.
Yeah, see.
But he's somehow been able to put them in good position.
And I go back and forth on that because I understand everybody who says they don't have any faith in Carson Beck. It just feels like Carson Beck is still going to grab this game magically from out of nowhere where he has 3 touchdowns and you're like, oh, dip? Like that, because you've seen it during the regular season. I know not quite as much thus far in the playoffs, though clearly everything looks significantly better offensively in the last game than against Texas A&M. But that's a good question. And you know what's interesting to go along with all of this is the undercurrent to all of this is this going to be Chambliss' last college football game? Because he's out there like essentially saying, please NCAA, accept my waiver so I can come back and play college football again next year. But that's a really complicated situation. So if he does, this could be two games away from the start of potentially defending a national title. But on the flip side, his college career could be over tonight, and he might not know it for like another few weeks.
I think also the excitement that you get from being able to watch Malachi Toney and a Kawan Lacey on the other side of the ball, two different positions, really fun players. But Malachi, you can put him on. He's your Turpin, right? You just put them all over the field, line them up, and they actually do things with them that turn into big plays. Fletcher has a really tough running style. Two offenses that can be very fun when not playing in A&M's wind. But this is going to come down to what those defensive fronts can do to make that quarterback not be able to deliver on big plays.
You know, it's funny because you mentioned three of the players right there. So ESPN put out their rankings of the best players in the college football playoff thus far. Four of the five are in this game. You mentioned Bain. He is number one. Chambliss, number two. Fletcher, number three. And then Perkins from Ole Miss, who already has 4.5 tackles for loss and a sack. He is listed at number five. Obviously, the only player not in that group in this game is, of course, Fernando Mendoza, because he's only played one game, but he looks spectacular in that game.
And we can get to that in just a minute if you'd like
yeah,
for sure. But I think that there's just like, I think the other underlying storyline when it comes to what's going on with Ole Miss, the fact that they've been able to block all that out with the Lane Kiffin stuff and be like, we're here. We have this chance to win a championship and do something special, despite where he is, despite what the national media is saying about the chaos that's going on, despite the fact that he keeps trying to steal coaches from our team and all this stuff. It's like, that's where I'm like, wow, I'm very interested in them because they look like it galvanized them. It looks like a team that's like, now we're going to figure a way out because we're all in this together. And that's a room that I'd like to be part of. I like rooms like that. So the other thing, though, is I saw this question this morning and I wanted to ask you. Is what Lane Kiffin is doing right now good for the future of the NCAA and the college football playoff?
All right. I might be in the minority here.
I think it is.
I do. Why do you think it is?
Because
I do too.
He's shaking things up that are already kind of broken and messed up, and he's pointing out why it can get really bad.
Yeah. Pointing out the hypocrisy of what the NCAA has been all about for a really long time is always going to win points with me.
Yeah.
But also, I like it because if you're going to have another new power rising, though obviously LSU has been very good for a long time in varying degrees, I think having a new villain is fun.
Yeah.
And if you told me that LSU is the new villain because of their head coach, I think that's kind of fun.
I do also wonder how, because he and Nick Saban are pretty tight.
For sure.
And I wonder how much of him and Nick Saban's texting him, and he's like, hey, you keep going against the grain on this. Really show them. They need a commissioner. I'm going to be the commissioner one day, and I'll help you out. But they need a commissioner. They need all these different things
because
the structure of it's broken. It's reality. The fact that coaches can leave before all that, it's reality. And I think that he's probably in his ear just a little bit going, hey, mess with them. Send your coaches, then take them away, then the day before send them back. You know, just mess with them.
And it might not be exactly the same, but did you see even Miami's coach was like, hey, blame the adults for all this portal trickery. Don't be blaming these kids. It's the adults who have set up this system
to have
all these issues.
A bajillion percent.
By the way, Jackson Arnold, formerly of Oklahoma and Auburn, is now going to go to UNLV. If you're looking, I think Reuben Bain is probably the guy, but that also depends on if you think Miami can win it all. Did you know outside of the quarterbacks, there is not one single MVP candidate for the college football championship that's better than 25-1. So I would offensively, now I know Bain, you would look at him as the defensive MVP, but MVP for offense, Mendoza, a little bit more than even money. Dante Moore, 2.5-1. Carson Beck, 3.5-1. Chambliss, 5-1. There is no other offensive player that's better than 25-1. After that. So quarterbacks lead the day. And let's go ahead and talk about it for tomorrow's game. We can talk about
which
it more.
Which one's like the 1,300-1 odds?
I will
We're really into those bets
right
now.
Okay. I like that you guys are placing a whole bunch of dollar bets on like these huge money things. Because there'll be a scenario where one of them at least gets kind of close and you're like, oh my gosh. what am I going to do with my $1,300? So we will talk more about the outcome of this game tomorrow while also getting prepped for Oregon and Indiana. Are you excited about the game as a whole, and do you take special fascination in the thought that a lot of people believe it's pick one versus pick two in Mendoza and Moore in this game? I know it's more complicated than that, but...
Yeah, no, that's cool. That's a really cool idea and concept. It doesn't register for me because, for some reason, when it comes to Oregon, there's this... they're over there. But they're still the best over there.
Right.
But they're not here, where it means more. And then Indiana's like, it doesn't mean more here. What are we talking... What are y'all...
It's about to mean the most in Indiana, maybe for a minute.
I just feel like Indiana's just been steamrolling people and making things look like we're supposed to be here. That's why I'm just concerned for Oregon at this point.
Are you surprised that game is only a 3.5-point spread? And I know Oregon's coming off.
It's moved, right?
Yeah, it's actually gotten closer. It was a 4-point spread at one point. Now it's down to 3.5. The perception among the betting public is that Oregon is second best, because if you do the look ahead lines, Oregon would be 2-point favorite over Miami and 3.5 over Ole Miss. So that lets you know the hierarchy of how the bettors have it is Indiana, Oregon, Miami, and Ole Miss.
Okay.
So they think it's 1-2 in that other semifinal.
Okay, man. So we're getting the Cowboys Niners.
I see, I don't think I view it that way.
1990s NFC Championship Bowl.
I don't think I view it that way, because like either way, which team is going to win? All right, so if you look at that Ole Miss Miami game tonight, is it going to be Ole Miss, who just destroyed Tulane and then they beat Georgia, who a lot of people thought was the second best team in this bracket, or is it going to be Miami? They went on the road, beat Texas A&M, then they beat an Ohio State team that some people were like, you just wait till that Ohio State-Indiana matchup. And so I think whoever wins that game is going to have a damn fine resume going into the championship. So I won't say that's the AFC championship game. I don't think that. Who's your pick? Who's y'all's pick for tonight? You got Miami, you got Ole Miss.
Dude, I'm rolling with Ole Miss.
I'm going to go Miami.
Ole Miss!
I think Kevin's going to be right.
What? Then why wouldn't you? What?
Because I'm kind of rooting for the team with no coach.
Why would you okay. say?
You know, the team that got left in the dust.
Look.
When they said, hey, can you move your vehicle so that we can leave your family? This is what I feel like, man. He put them down, and they need America rooting for them. You know, they need the whole country behind them.
I will admit I have selfish reasons. If Miami won by 17 after they beat Ohio State by
10, want them to look,
then I can look back at that and be like,
maybe A&M
could
have done it if the win hadn't been so bad.
I admitted it was a loser mentality. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And Corey,
let's give something away!
877-881-1053, caller number 10.
Now
we'll win a pair of tickets to go experience TNA Wrestling at the Curtis Colwell Center a week from today, Thursday, January 15th. These tickets come courtesy of TNA Wrestling. You can go buy tickets there or CurtisColwellCenter.com, or you can win them for free right now. 877-881-1053. Coming up next, it's the C Block.
That's sure right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know Graybar for electrical parts, but there's one more thing you may not be thinking of us for that can help maximize your next project's total value. Our pre-project planning services are designed to help you win the bid, save on labor costs, and keep your installers productive across your entire build. The sooner you call us, the better. Because when we're there from the beginning, we can anticipate your needs and help you solve problems before they become problems. Yep, Graybar does that.